But let's keep remember in our prayers Susan Mahurin, Pete, and Melissa, and you know her ongoing struggle, Wayne Moore and Shane King, and then of course Jim Maldonado, which I don't know, but Brother Chris has been mentioning. So you pray for these guys, and they'll appreciate it. And some of them contend with this for years and years and years, and I can only fathom what that is like, but we can pray for them anyway. I want to say a happy anniversary to my wife, 34 years ago today. Now, you do realize now that 34 years, we're like newlyweds to a good many couples in this church. We were talking about it in the prayer room this morning, 40, 50, 60, we've had some 70-year marriages, and so we got a long ways to go, you know. But God's blessed me tremendously. How anybody can put up with me for 34 years is a puzzle to me. But I am grateful for her and for our family. And this morning, we're going to be over in John chapter 17. And 3 weeks ago, I passed out a handout. And I hope you still have that because we're going to do the second. We're going to review the whole thing, but we're going to finish that handout. And I was going to print up some more, but I still haven't got my printer set back up after our Christmas Day flood. We had a pipe burst and flooded our bedroom, and it's been quite a mess, but I still haven't got everything situated where I can get back to normal. So I hope you have one. If not, you can take some notes. But it's called The Holy of Holies of John's Gospel. And one of the reasons we call, or many people call this chapter that, is because it is a record of our Lord praying to his Father, first of all for himself, and then he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for us, those that carry on the name of Jesus Christ, those that work the work that the disciples worked. And our Lord was a great prayer warrior when he was on this earth. He prayed all the time. And you know, this is the thing that we might fathom to understand. He and God the Father, he and his Father were on the same terms. They knew each other's thoughts. They knew each other's desires and wills. And yet, he still prayed. He still prayed. And that is a great example for us. Our Lord knows what's going through our minds right now. If you had a bad morning, I guarantee you God knows about it. Our Lord cares about your bad morning. He still wants, however, you to go to him in prayer about your bad morning. Our Lord was a man of prayer. He constantly prayed. He went up into a mountain to pray. He went out into the village to pray with his people. And it's just a great example that you and I should always follow. Now, to get us started this morning, and I'm going to try to stay on track so I can actually finish this week, we're going to go ahead and read the chapter because this is a wonderful chapter. If this chapter doesn't move you, then wow, it's an amazing chapter. Verse number 1 says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Now, I'm going to stop for just a moment because in verse number 3, we have such a powerful thought when you look at the verb tense of that word know. We found out when we went through that when it was translated from Greek over to English, the Greek word actually meant to keep on knowing. It's not a one-time deal. Our Father desires for us to know him and come to him with our life, but he wants us to keep on knowing him. And the only way we can do that is through his word. And we can do that by ourselves at home. There's a special dynamic when we do it together here at church. There's a special dynamic when we submit ourselves under the sound of the gospel, under the sound of God's word, under the sound of our pastor's voice, a special dynamic there to get to know Jesus Christ, to get to know his word. Verse 4 continues, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, remember, in a matter of hours, he's going to be put on the cross. So that's the context. That's the setting of this. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. Oh, what a great phrase right there. Jesus saying to his Father, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. If you don't come away from this chapter with anything else, please come away with this. Our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has a sincere desire, an earnest will that you and I be preserved, that we are kept in our faith. He doesn't want us to fall away. He doesn't want us to be faithful for 10 years. He wants us to be preserved as long as we are living. That's what he wants us to do. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. You know, that was Judas. He was never saved to begin with. So he couldn't have fallen away from his salvation because he was not one that had ever submitted his heart to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now we enter the picture here in verse number 20. Neither pray I for these alone, not just for the disciples, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Did you catch that, Beverly? Our Lord's praying for you. Linda, Dwayne, Georgina, our Lord's praying for us. Isn't that great? That is awesome. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, now we're a part of that. We're a part of God's gift to his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Now look up here for a minute. We can't physically be with him. He's not here to go sit by on that couch right there and on that love seat right there. We have to be with him in spirit. We have to be with him in his word. We have to be with him on our knees in prayer. But that's what he wants. He wants fellowship. He wants us to live with him. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Did you know that's one of the most important functions of the church? Did you know that's one of the most important functions of us reading the Word of God? It's to behold his glory. Today we have our service this morning and then a service this evening, and the goal of both of those services, the end result, as we walk out that door back there at the end of that foyer, as we go to our homes, is that God was glorified, that we give him credit, we give him due process, glory for who he is and what he has done. It's not about us, it's about him. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So the title of our sheet is the Holy of Holies of John's Gospel, which is this chapter. And the reason that is because in the Old Testament, if you remember, the priest went into the Holy of Holies there at the first little section, and then the second section was the holiest, the holiest of holies, and he went to pray and seek intercession for the people with their sacrifice. He would take their sacrifice, and he would take their sins, and he would take their his conversations with them, and he would intercede to God for them. And now this is what Jesus, God the Son, is doing with God the Father. He's interceding for the disciples. He's interceding for me and for you. We don't have bloody sacrifices, but we have hearts that we submit to him. That's our sacrifice, is humility. That's our sacrifice, is service. That's our sacrifice, it's our love for him. And now that love is to be showed in our actions of love to him. Boy, I had a good thought, but it just left me. I was in the middle of a sentence, and you got to bring this up. Now I get to the end of the sentence, and it's gone. Oh, my goodness gracious. So the sheet, the Holy of Holies, in John chapter 7, we see a couple of things here. First of all, we see what Jesus says about the Christian, what he says about me and you. We've given our hearts to the Lord, we're saved, we're born again, we're going to heaven, we've attached ourselves to a local church. What does he say about that? What does he say about people who trust in him? The first one is found back in verse number 6. This is number 1 on the top. The first thing that Jesus says about the Christian today is that we are gifts to Christ from God. We are given to the Son. We are given to Jesus from God. We are a gift to our Lord, and we're called out of this world. Verse 6 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. We are God's gift to his Son, Jesus Christ. And he desires to be manifested in our life. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, that happens when we get into his word. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. How many times have you been in God's word and something that you've read 500 blue million times suddenly comes alive to you? And the Holy Spirit pricks your heart and says, hey, this one's for you. Pay attention to this one. That's God's Holy Spirit. And so we are given to Jesus Christ. We're also, in number 2, we're left in the world, in verse number 11. But, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Okay, these disciples, and then starting in verse 20, these future believers. He left us here for a purpose. He's God. He could zap Georgina up to heaven just like that. He could zap me into his presence, but he's leaving me here to do something. We're going to get into that, what it is, in just a minute. But he's leaving us, and that's number two. What Jesus says about the Christian is they are left in the world. The third thing he says about the Christian today is that they are not of this world. We're left in the world, but we're not of the world. In verse number 14, it says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You want to know why so many people have conflicts with religion and God's word? It's because it's unnatural to them. We all have, we're bodies of flesh, and these minds that are, at best, minds so-so, you know? But do you take humanity as a whole, and we got lots of opinions, we got lots of theories, we got lots of ideas, and all of us need the Word of God to be the gauge, to be the standard for those ideas. And so 50 years ago, when they invited God out of the classroom, and then 30-some years ago when they started asking God to get out of the courtroom, we find that society, as a result of that right there, is going to grow farther and farther away. And the world will not love Christianity, because Christianity has the views of God in it. And what is society doing? Anything they want to. It may not be natural, but that's, I can do what I want to do, and I don't have to consult God's word. I know what he says about this, but I have to express my freedom. I have to do what I think is right, or do what pleases me, rather. So it's not a natural for the world to love Jesus Christ, and it's not a natural for the world to love a Christian, because we are a stick in their spokes. We bring out the word. Hey, listen, God's word does that to us in our life. It rubs our fur sometimes. Sometimes it gets in our way, and we have to alter our life and alter the things that we're doing to conform to the word of God. And that goes along with number four at the top, what Jesus says about the Christian, is that they're hated by the world. That's number four, hated by the world. Christ was hated by the world, and we are hated by the world. And then number five, we are kept from Satan, the evil one. We are kept from the power of Satan. That's verse number 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Look at there. He's even praying that Dwayne stays out of the way of Satan. He's praying for Dwayne that I would not be under the influence of Satan himself. He's praying for me that I would be preserved out of Satan's path. And then in our sixth one up in verse number 18, we are sent into the world. Verse number 18 says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have also I also sent them into the world. Now, why didn't our Lord Jesus Christ pray for the world? We read that verse just a minute ago. I pray not for the world, but I pray for these men. I pray for these disciples. Why didn't he not pray for the world? Because we are in the world to give them the message. You see, Jesus Christ was about to exit stage right. His life was about to end. He was about to leave this earth. And he would need in his place people to finish the job that he started. He would need Beverly to trust him and be a light in her neighborhood or whatever she's doing. He would need Sally and Lizzie and Pat to finish the job that he started long, long ago. We're sent into the world to do his bidding. So our Lord prays for us that we're faithful and that we're preserved so we can go into the world and preach to all the world and baptize those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the seventh thing that we see here, what Jesus says about the Christian today, is that we should be displayed before the world in what? Unity. I should love Linda. Linda should love me. As a child of God, I should love my brothers and sisters in Christ so that we can display to the world our unity. Look in verse number 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, that's complete, they may be made perfect or complete in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now, did you get the full picture of the end of that sentence? That blows my mind. Our Lord Jesus Christ is saying His Father loves these disciples as He loves Him. That's deep. That is deep. I can't understand that. God the Father loving me and you because we're gifts to His Son as much as He loves the Son. If nothing else, we should feel a lot better about our trust in the Lord, because He's out there for us. He's caring for us. He's taking care of us. Now, this is how our Lord prays for us. And this is the bottom seven blanks at the bottom of the page. The first one is that we be preserved. He prays that we be preserved, or He prays for our preservation, you might say. Look back in verse number 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Now, there's two things that he prays for in that verse. And the first one is that we be preserved, that we love him, okay? That we love him enough, that we serve him enough, that we stay true in our faith, our love to God's word, that we are preserved, that we keep on in our faith. His desire is to see me not quit. His desire is, you know, he knows I'm going to get discouraged. He knows you're going to fall off from time to time because we all get discouraged. He knows that. He knows we're going to have doubts in our head, but he prays to his Father that we be kept. In spite of all the times we lag behind, that we be kept. And he desires also that we have joy in verse number 13, and that's number 2. At the bottom of the page, he prays that we have joy or fullness of the Spirit. And now come I to thee, that these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. As a child of God, as a Christian, we should be joyful. We shouldn't walk around with a big frown on our face. And you know, from time to time we do that because we do experience things in this life that pose great difficulties for us, and that saddens us. But overall, in our Christian life, we should have joy. He wants us to live in Him. He wants us to have a positive outlook as being a child of God. That's why when Brother David prayed in the prayer room this morning, and he said to God, whatever happens in 2023, help me as a child of God to have faith in what's ahead. Because we've read the end of the book, and we know what's going to happen. And he expects us to be happy about that. He expects us to be joyful that that is going to take place. And that was number 2. Number 3 at the bottom of the page is he wants us to be delivered from evil. Verse number 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. And it literally means from the evil one. We should be He has a desire for us to be delivered from Satan. And verse number 4, number 4 at the bottom of the page, he desires for us to be set apart, sanctified, set apart by God's word. It's verse number 17 that we're referring to. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How do we become closer to the Lord? Get in God's word. How do we find out what He wants for our life? Get in God's Word. How do we know if our lives are approved by Him, or if he thinks we should make this move, or if He thinks we should do this or make this decision? Get in God's Word. Seek His direction. It's a two-sided coin. We seek His direction from the pages of the Word of God, and when we're humble and when we're sincere and we lay our humble hearts before him, open and bare and naked, then God's Holy Spirit has a way of telling us what we should do. So that's what that means, to be set apart by God's word, sanctified, made holy by the word of God. And then number five, down at the bottom of the sheet, he wants us to be in unity with other Christians. Oh, this is a beautiful part. Verse number 14 says, verse number 21, looked at the wrong one. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And when we talked about this verse the first time, Brother Albert was sitting over here, they're on the road today, but I used Brother Albert and myself as an example. Our Lord desires and our Lord prays that there's a sweet fellowship between Brother Albert and me, or Beverly and Linda, or Stacy, and I start to say Deborah. That's a given right there. There should be unity for Stacy and Brother Jerry. If there's not unity there, then we got another problem. There should be unity among God's people. And he's not pleased. He does not approve us bickering and fighting and fussing. And is there a time to fight? Well, sure, when God's word is short-sighted and when we believe other men's opinions other than God's word. And I'm so grateful I'm part of a church that's pastored by a man that teaches God's word. I don't want to know, and nothing against Chris Downer, but I don't want to know his opinions. Because for every opinion he's got, I've got one too. Brother Jerry and Georgina, that we all have some kind of opinion. I want something solid I can sink my teeth into. Something that's been around from the beginning of time. I want something that's real. And when our government and when society and all these fads and all these definitions of families and definitions of whatever and craziness, when all that's gone, God's word is still going to be alive. It's still going to be standing. Got to move on. The sixth thing that he says that he prays for us for is to have fellowship with him. And that's in verse number 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So he has a desire that I be in such close proximity to him in spirit. He has a desire that I be in such close fellowship with him and his word. Such warm fellowship so that I can be where he is. And I'm 56 years old and I've spent a good portion of my life not being there. But when I am there, oh, it's such a sweet thing. When God's Holy Spirit speaks to you from his word, oh my goodness, there's nothing like it. When God's Holy Spirit speaks to a congregation, a church, when they're going through that special dynamic of the service where we all meet together, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And the very last one at the bottom, he prays also in verse number 4 that we would behold his glory. There's a funny thing about beholding the glory of God. Even though we're talking about his glory and his attributes and his character, we're the ones that get the satisfaction from it. We're the ones that get fulfilled when he is honored. We're the ones that the blanks get filled in our life when we give him the glory, when we worship him and when we love him. Now, as we tie up here, I got to close. I just want to say back to the discussion of the Holy of Holies. The children of Israel, wandering through that wilderness, they had the temple that they went in and gave their sacrifices. As that priest went into the Holy of Holies to give those sacrifices and as forgiveness for their sins on behalf of the people, as he went into the Holy of Holies, he had an ephod on. That's called an apron. He had an apron on that went around his neck and it went so far down, they say. And on that apron, tying both shoulders together, were two stones. And the names of the 12 sons of Israel were on each stone. Each listed out, written out. And not only that, but on top of the apron, on top of the ephod, there was a breastplate. And it went around the head and hung down. And it had four lines of three names each. Also, the same names that were on the stones. And when that man went into the Holy of Holies and went on behalf of all the people that had sinned and sought God's forgiveness for them, he was truly being a representative for God's people, the 12 sons of Israel. Those 12 tribes were truly represented, not only in what he did, but written out on the breastplate, written out on the stones, on the apron or the ephod that he carried. You know, that's what God does for us. That's what our Lord does for us. He is our intercessor. When God looks at my life and he says, that doesn't add up, that's not a standard that a man of God should have. Well, my friends, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has a name on his breastplate, Dwayne Williams. Now, he's got billions upon billions of names in there, but I'm on there. And he says, forgiven. Grace has been applied to his account. Isn't that great? To have a Savior that goes on behalf of you and me and intercedes for us. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this